What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 386, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. You look like we should be switching areas or something, or zones, because you've got this jacket on. You sent me pictures and video of rain today. Like,
it did rain today. It barely ever rains. And so, like, it was actually nice, to be honest.
Yeah.
A storm rolled through. So like, sometimes it rains here, but it's not like a real thunderstorm.
Yeah. You should be like radar too. I was like, all right, that looks like it might be a thunderstorm.
Yeah. So it was an actual thunderstorm. But it did, like, you know, like the rainy days, you kind of just want to sit inside and do nothing. Oh, yeah. It's like not good for productivity. I didn't get like anything done today. Yeah. So that's not really great. But yeah, just rainy day. It's not necessarily cold. And we always have my trusty thermometer that I have.
Yeah. What do you got right now?
And it's only, well, it's backwards.
How
can
you have long sleeves on with that?
Oh, it's only 76 now. In here. It's not like 84 like it was like a month ago. So
yeah, that's true.
We're not as warm. So. But yeah, guys, welcome to the weekly tech podcast. Of course, if you're new here, we hang out, talk about tech, talk about what's going on in the world, and talk about some of the products that we've taken a look at over the past week. If you do want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page here. That's going to have everything that we talked about. So as we're going through it, if you want to click through, you can go ahead and do that. Or if you hear something on the podcast, you can go back and click through and, you know, of course, get more information yourself. So we have all that there for you. We're going to start out with our reviews this week, and I took a look at a mini ITX motherboard from ASRock. It is their Z790 PG ITX TB4, and I know you were looking for like a mini ITX board for a little bit. You were thinking about doing a build with a mini ITX, and are you still thinking about doing a newer build for your main PC for mini ITX?
Correct. Yep. Yep, still thinking about it. Just, I don't know. I haven't decided on a case, and I'm really now holding off for, and we're going to talk about this later in the podcast, some announcements from NVIDIA. So
Gotcha. Well, if you were going to go the Intel route, I think this is a really good board. It has for how small of a board this is, like, you have quite a lot of features in this. So, like I said, this is mini ITX, very, very small board, but you still get all of those great features that you would expect from a Z790 board. You know, the biggest thing with this board is you are getting true Thunderbolt 4. So you have Thunderbolt 4 connectivity on the back. So you want to connect some super fast displays, or you want to connect super fast portable SSD or any Thunderbolt device. You can daisy chain it, of course. You have all of that with this board. But on top of that, you get 3 M.2 slots. They're all Gen 4. They're not Gen 5, but there's 3 on this board. So, I mean, you really don't need any extra storage, really. You get a couple, you get 3 2 terabyte drives. You know,
sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, you're set. So this board, like I said, has quite a lot. You're also going to get USB 3.2 Gen 2x2, really great audio on this, and Wi-Fi 6E. So we can see the first slot right here. This is the first M.2. And then below, we have our single PCI Express. That is Gen 5, for those who are wondering. And you can see the big heat sink on this one. And this is going to be a Gen 4, so this comes off very easily. But then if you flip the board over, you get 2 more M.2 slots. Now, these do not come with heat sinks, so you have to kind of be cognizant of which drives you put on there. But again, 3 M.2 slots, and then you're getting Thunderbolt 4 on the back here, your Wi-Fi 6E, and then you're going to get USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. You're getting that by the header that's right here. You also get 3 SATA connections on here if you want. Who uses SATA these days? Come on. But you still get 3 SATA ports there too. So lots of, you know, room for storage on this. So you could really build an incredibly powerful system. And again, for your power on this, it is going to be a 10-phase power design, so 10 plus 1 plus 1, which is more than enough power for, you know, new Core i9 processors, no problem running. We ran a 13900K on this, no problem. And no overheating or anything like that. Just a really good board overall. It's so crazy. Like even if you look at the board from the side, like how much stuff is just all cramped on this board. Yeah. I would say the only thing that you are missing on this board, if you're comparing it to like a full size board, is that you're only getting two DDR5 slots on this instead of.
What about like fan headers? That's the other thing. That is there one like towards the back? The IO side of things.
Let's look at the.
Also, it's interesting placement to see that other SATA port on the other side of the.
Yeah, I think it's because that's the only.
Yeah, it's the only like, spot.
Only spot that they had. There's actually, if we go to the top edge of the.
Are they all along that top edge? Maybe.
Yeah, right here.
Okay.
So you have three. One of these is a CPU fan header.
Yeah, one's usually.
Yeah, and then you have two more, which three is kind of standard. I have seen some mini ITX boards that do give you a little bit more, right? But three is kind of standard when it comes to a board like this. I guess you're right. Yeah, fan headers would be kind of the thing. But again, you know, mini ITX board, typically smaller system, typically not a ton of fans.
Right.
So yeah, like I said, I really like this board. Of course, you have the integrated IO shield, which you get, you know, pretty much on every board these days. You know, and their BIOS has been pretty good. It's still, I wouldn't call it the best BIOS out there, but it's still pretty good. Their software, if for those considered like their motherboard companion software, is definitely dated compared to something like Asus, or even like MSI's new software. And they haven't really updated their software, but I know a lot of people don't even use the software. But I like this board. I think the big thing here is the Thunderbolt 4. That's a big addition on this. And then in Wi-Fi 6E, USB 3.2 Gen 2x2, lots of connectivity on this, which I think if you're going for a smaller system, I mean, that's kind of what you want. And the ability to not, you know, we talk about small form factor systems, the ability to run all of your hard drives from the board on the board. So you don't even need hard drive space necessarily in that small form factor case either. That's definitely a plus as well. So like I said, I really like it. This is retailing for around $390, which makes it kind of sit with a lot of other Z790 mini ITX boards from other brands out there. But I do like this one. You're not going to get Gen 5 storage. If you go up in price for some of the other brands, you will get Gen 5 storage. But again, you're paying more for that. And I think, I mean, Gen 4 storage is, you have a bunch of Gen 4 storage. It's plenty fast enough.
It's cheap.
Yeah.
Right now. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, and like I said, I wasn't the biggest fan of the software. It's been the same for years now. So, overall, like I said, if you're looking for a Z790 mini ITX motherboard, this is a solid choice. It gives you're not missing anything minus the Gen 5 for the storage. And again, it's not like you're getting like Gen 3 storage, like you're getting Gen 4 storage. So, you know, and you're getting three slots too, which is, you know, a lot. So,
right. And you buy the latest Gen or the latest version of that Gen 4 stuff is what, up to 7,000 megabytes a second? Like that's plenty for 99% of people.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, like I said, I would definitely build a system around this board if you were looking. It's completely solid. Old man is in the chat and he says, I like the LED software built into the BIOS setting of his ASRock board. No need for extra software. Yeah, I think like all of the major motherboard manufacturers in their BIOS now, they have the RGB LED setting because everybody knows, and it's been like, it's no secret that like RGB software has been bad. Some people like it just doesn't work correctly. Like the software is just, I don't know, something wrong with the software. So you can actually change the RGB lighting or set the RGB effect you want in the BIOS, and then you'll never have to install the software. Now the software has gotten better, but since the beginning it hasn't been great. So it's nice that they finally have, like, a lot of the BIOSes initially didn't have it, and now they've built it into the BIOS, so you don't have to have software, which is definitely nice. So yeah, check out my review of this board. Like I said, I really enjoyed it. And if I was building the system, I'd be really pumped to have this board. So yeah, Ryan, if you want to bring up your review, Ryan took a look at a product that's really made for gamers, streamers, people who deal with audio. And that's kind of Ryan's thing here.
There we go. Share. Done. Yeah, so I took a look at the Fifine Ampligame SC3 audio mixer. I've taken a look at, just a couple months ago, really, a microphone from Fifine as well. So that's what I kind of paired up with this for the review. So let's just get
and, I think a lot of people, I wasn't necessarily as familiar with this brand either, but it looks like they have a lot of really cool products. And a lot of products, like you took a look at the that was an XLR microphone, right?
Yes. That microphone is XLR and USB.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Correct. So yeah, so they have a lot of products for gamers, streamers, things like that.
Yeah.
So it's nice to like see a new brand and be able to kind of like check out some of their products and see, because you see a new brand, you see it on Amazon, you see it somewhere, you're like,
so I had used Fifine in the past for some projects at work.
Okay.
To get some other like non-gaming type products, but like some of their microphones and other products, and had pretty good success with them. So when they reached out previously about that other mic, I was like, yeah, I'll see what, you know, the quality of it is going to be. And then they obviously reached out to see if we wanted to take a look at this, which we did. So this is a multi-channel audio mixer, external from your PC. So we have just a quick look at the box here. Really no specifications on the box other than the picture of the mixer itself and some feature sets there. It does come with a USB type C cable, and that cable also has a little adapter on one end that's kind of molded onto it to change from type C to type A, so you can use it with a system that doesn't have a type C port on it. I really like that this is molded on there though, so you don't lose this little adapter. Nice feature there. Yeah. Exactly. And then it comes with a TRS to a TRSS cable with it as well, for just your standard 3.5 millimeter audio connections for the line in or other uses that you might want to use it for. But like I said, it's a multi-channel mixer. So we've got four channels here. The first one on the left is for the microphone, and that will control either the XLR microphone. And actually, the XLR connection also supports quarter-inch connections in the middle, like a lot of other XLR products. Or you can utilize like a headset-based microphone that uses a 3.5 millimeter jack as well. So you can control either of those through that first slider there. If you have XLR plugged in, like, it's going to choose one or the other. You can't have two plugged in and get two mics going on the same channel. You can't do that. But it does have that option. You also have that second slider here for the line in. So if you wanted to bring in like external audio from something or another sound source, right, which, you know, I guess could be a microphone or another source, you can utilize the slider for it. Each of those has a dedicated mute, so you can just hit mute real quick on those. You've got inline headphone or mic monitoring on this third channel. So if you want a little bit of that side tone or see what you're sounding like, you can utilize the port on the back and adjust that volume here on this third slider. And then we have the line out volume as well, and you can mute that as an option there too. Up in the top left corner here, we have this 48 volt button, and that controls the ability to turn on or off 48 volt phantom power for your XLR devices. So you've got the ability to turn that on or off. This electric button here, I really wish it felt like it did something, but in my testing, I just could not notice a difference no matter what. Okay. So it's kind of like supposed to change your voice through like these pitches, not so much like the voice changer button over here, but just like give you a different, almost like auto-tune-y sounding difference. I tried everything I could. I could not like tell a difference in this. So it's kind of a wasted button in my opinion, unfortunately. Top right, we have a button for lighting. This does have some RGB LEDs in it. There's no software with this either, so you're going to get kind of those standard lighting options, you know, the rainbow, solid colors. There's like a marquee, or you can like hard press it to turn it off and just run without. I really wish though there was a white backlighting. You've got like your red, your green, blue, yellow, purples, but there's no just white. I would have really liked to see white. Yeah. It was interesting that that wasn't included, especially because like when you enable things like the 48 volt phantom power, or you turn on the voice changer, the buttons glow white. Yeah. So it's like, I know that color is available.
Yeah.
Why not make it a color for me?
Yeah.
Anyhow, got some lighting there. You also have this voice changer button on the right. You have six options there you can choose from, what they call male, female, robot, monster, baby, and elder. I found that male and elder sounded very similar, but kind of neat. These are kind of like those gimmicky buttons where you want to change your voice for a little while, and it's one of those features, like, I don't know, every now and then you find a product that, like, has, like, with, you know, Amazon or Google Home devices, you're always like asking it, like, play a fart sound or tell me a joke, right? That's cool for the first like day or two, and then after that you're like, I don't ever use this again. Yeah. Same thing with the voice, like, change
part of your, you know, you,
like, can, you have a character
like podcasting or like a stream where you're a character and you're using that,
right? Outside of that, though, it's like, I don't, you know. And then we have these four custom buttons, A, B, C, and D, and what those allow you to do is record up to 15 seconds of custom audio. So you can either record a sound clip off of your microphone itself, or you can utilize like that line in to get audio from a different source, and then you can hit that button to play back that sound. So it's kind of a cool feature. Unfortunately, the audio quality of those recordings isn't as good as the quality you get just going through the microphone. And there's a bit of a delay when you play them back. So, like, if you're trying to, like, you know, do a, you know, the drum or something after a joke or something, there's a delay there. So you almost have to pre-anticipate hitting that button, which kind of stinks. But they all light up. They're that standard, like, rubbery button type that you get on these types of devices. Some people might think they're a little mushy, but they feel almost like my Stream Deck buttons do, even though the Stream Deck buttons are hard. I know you've got that mountain device. Yeah. The buttons there, they're probably like a little like mushy feeling, right?
Yeah.
They're over a membrane type of button usually. So some people might think that they're going to be a little harder clicking, but they are not. Anyhow, these sliders move up and down. We have left and right channel. Or I'm sorry, I shouldn't say left and right. We have like gain LEDs and headphone LEDs up at the top. So when you adjust these sliders, these will move depending on what you've got going on. So you've just got like some visual indicators for your levels and things like that. Let's see here. We talked about all those sliders and buttons towards the back here, powered by USB Type-C, which is really nice. So you can power it, you know, hook it up to your computer. You don't need a power supply itself. You can also use like the on-the-go connections to like an Android tablet or phone, so you can use that as an option. And then you've got your standard, like we talked about, a line out, a headphone, a line in, and then here's those headphone connections for either a headset based microphone or your XLR or quarter inch mic. And then you can select between dynamic and condenser style microphones as well. That'll make a little bit of adjustment to the unit there. And on the bottom, just standard feet, but there is this like little window for some underglow to the thing when you've got it up and running to give it some additional lighting for it. Setup is super easy. It's just a USB device, right? So no drivers to install with this. It's going to show up as a Fifine audio device in Windows or in Mac OS. And no software. So like that's a plus and a minus. It's a plus because it's really easy to get up and going. But at the same time, there's no additional tweaks that you're going to be able to make to this device outside or, you know, that are dedicated to the mixer itself. You can obviously change audio sounds with third-party pieces of software and things like that, but nothing you're going to be able to control on the mixer via software for it. So, I talked about the buttons, how they work. The sliders feel pretty good. They're a little like scratchy feeling almost. I've utilized some higher end sliders before in the past on different, you know, mixers and audio boards that just feel better. But then again, like for the price that you're going to pay for this, which I'll get to in a minute, you can't have everything.
Yeah.
They felt pretty decent, but not as smooth as they could. But as far as the like force it takes to move them, that was nice. It's not like they're super loose and you're just sliding all around and feel like you're overcompensating for things. But they're not too tight either and, you know, tough to move to the levels you want.
Gotcha.
Like I said, that electric button, I couldn't for the life of me get it to do anything where I could find a difference on it, unfortunately. And then, here's a couple shots of that lighting, you know, and kind of a rainbow effect. Like I said, you know, I set this all to red, then I turned on 48 volt power, muted myself and had a voice changer on. So I know that white light is there, just wasn't available as one of the lighting colors. Just kind of cool there. Looks nice on the desk, you know, in low light, gives you like a nice lit interface to work with. Being able to adjust those audio levels on the fly in some instances is nice. For me, though, and I mentioned this in the review, like, I'm kind of a set it and forget it type of person. The only audio that I adjust every now and then is my music volume when we're streaming after this podcast. I'll turn that music up and down a little bit throughout the night, depending on, like, I feel like I'm not in the zone or you know, I need a little more volume on something. I will adjust that. But for the most part, my audio levels stay the same. I don't adjust my microphone ever, right? I've set it one time and I've left alone. That being said, you could use this in, you know, a more dynamic environment where you are adjusting some of these levels a lot, and this will work out for you. It's a nice way outside of software. You know, you don't have to hunt around on the screen for where's your mouse and now I got to click the right slider. You can just get your hands there and move these sliders right away. So that's a really nice convenient feature for you. I do have an audio sample in there where I utilized the Fifine microphone, the Ampligain AM8, I believe is the name of it, hooked up via the XLR connection on there. And then I went through like the voice changer and just kind of like demoed some of those sounds. One thing I did notice, there was a bit of a hiss most of the time, and I had to have the levels all the way up on this for the microphone to really pick up and transmit sound very well. It was like I'm pushed this thing pedal to the metal in order for it to like work really well, you know what I mean? Unfortunately, so there's a bit of a hiss, background hiss there in there. But the funny thing was, as soon as I enabled one of those voice modes, that cut out and it was like crystal clear. You turn the voice modes off and it kicked back through. So it was like, if you could just run the normal audio through whatever you've, you know, ran through these processors for these voices, this thing would be much better. So I gave this a 7 out of 10. I think I hadn't mentioned price yet. For $50, like, that's a pretty good deal. I mean, this thing's gives you multiple channels of control, you know, external physical surfaces to interact with if you need that sort of interaction and on the fly adjustment to like a podcast or some other type of recording that you're doing. I think it's a good beginning step for that to get some of those features, right? It's got XLR and 3.5 millimeter microphone support, 48 volt phantom power, inline monitoring, which is really nice. I like to have some of that side tone available just like the slightest amount. Yeah, because
you never want to go live and then everybody in the chat is like, you sound horrible, or turn your mic up, or whatever. Right. Maybe. Yeah.
Yep. Because it's kind of like if you use a phone, like, who uses a house phone anymore? But, you know, like, you can hear, there's side tone on regular telephones, so you can hear yourself. We don't get it on cell phones, which is kind of odd, but anyhow, just kind of one of those old school types of things. And it's an affordable entry level option, but the things, like I said, high volumes introduce some hiss, you know, no software and things like that. So 7 out of 10 for $50, though, like, kind of getting what you pay for here.
I mean, you see some of the other ones out there and they're much more expensive. So yeah, so really cool. And yeah, that was like, cause you had talked about for a while, you were wanting one of those, and we had talked about the, Go XLR for a while. So, pretty cool. And again, when we talk about like setups and things like that, I mean, with all the lights on, this is going to look pretty cool sitting on your desk.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. So, we have Jared, my friend Jared's in the chat. Good. He said landline versus cellular. Ryan's old. Ryan's an old.
I got them both.
Yeah, I don't have a landline. So, but yeah, cool to check that out. Of course, check out Ryan's review there. We'll move on from that to Case Mod Friday, and we have another build from Sneff Computer Design. And this one is, we've seen a handful of these, Ryan. We've seen a handful of these Asus ProArt themed builds. And this one, it's his own custom case that he made with, of course, Asus ProArt parts and the theme. If you're not familiar with the Asus ProArt theme, it's black and like a, I would say like a rich gold color. Like an actual real gold.
Yeah, a metallic gold.
Yeah.
Because I was looking for the color gold, like I was making an image this evening for something, and I was looking for the color gold, like the color, the hex code, And yeah, like, yeah, it was something, and it was like, no, like, how do I get this color? But in order to have this look, it's multiple tones. It's not just a single color, right?
Yeah.
So it's that metallic gold look.
Yeah,
it's very cool though. This thing looks sick.
When I first looked at it, but like, you have like the channels built in here. I didn't really notice this initially. Yep. And then when you have the reservoir here, you can see those channels right here with the he always does a really good job with his coolant too, even though it's not necessarily as shown off. You can kind of see it over here, but it sort of, you know, it matches that gold kind of look really well. So I really, really like this. I just, this, these Pro Art builds have been really, really cool. I think they're probably, some of them are some of my favorite builds that we've seen this year.
Yep.
And everybody's
they just all look that, so, yeah,
that creative.
It just looks so high end and like sophisticated.
Yeah. And I think that's the cool thing about the Pro Art line is like these, you know, Asus has these products are made for designers, visual creators and things like that. And like a lot of them don't care about RGB and flashiness and any of that kind of stuff. So to have an entire product line, you can get pretty much Pro Art, like, you know, graphics card, motherboard, of course, the monitors, things like that. It's cool to see. And it's cool to see people like Snef, and I know GGF did a Pro Art build, and some other people that we featured as well, like, to bring all that together and just have this sleek and sophisticated build.
And look at the motherboard screws are gold as well, and a hex head on them.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to see, but they're right there.
Yeah, that previous picture had a little better shot.
Yeah, right here.
Right, like that is awesome too. Attention to detail, right? They're not just like black or silver. I think black would have looked good too, but yeah, they just match with that gold.
Yeah, Snef is always really good with like little attention to detail that you might not see the initial first time, and then you see it and you're like, wow, like I would never have thought of that. Like even the screws are gold, like these ones too up here. Yep. So they kind of, you know, it just all kinds of, it goes together really well. He does have a screen in the case as well. So really cool overall. Like I said, I really like these builds. Just sleek, just very, very sleek. So definitely go ahead and check this one out. Of course, shout out to Snef Computer Design. He's probably one of my favorites. We feature him a lot, so he must be one of my favorites.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and then we'll move on. We have another contest going on. We're giving away a Cooler Master Gem. If you're not familiar with what that is, it is a headset holder. So we have one here. We'll be giving it away. Like all of our contests, we run it through Gleam. So you have the little widget here. You subscribe to our email newsletter, and then you get access to the 15 other ways to enter. Super easy. We're running this for 2 weeks, and then it'll be over. And then we're doing another contest right after. So get your entry in. 11 days left on this. Just doing a bunch of giveaways. Like I said, we're gonna try to roll giveaways. Like just continue to have them, because we do like a couple giveaways, and then like we wait like 6 months and then do another one. We're just gonna try to roll giveaways. You know, every month, every couple weeks, we'll have a giveaway. So trying to give back to you guys. So get your entry in. Check out the show notes for the link, or if you're on the website, just go to contests at the top, and then it will be the first one that's listed there. So you guys can get your entry in. Old man in the chat said, I transferred my custom water cooled build from one case to another with a new motherboard CPU. It took hours. Yeah, Ryan knows all about that, don't you, Ryan?
Yeah, like I guess I did some work. When I swapped just like my CPU last year, it's not just like taking a cooler off. That's
especially the in
biggest a hard
thing.
A hard, like if this was a soft tube build, it's not as bad, right? Because you could unscrew the block from your motherboard and like move it out of the way and keep the loop closed.
Like an AIO
tubing. There's that's not an option.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is that everybody's like, oh, Bob, why don't you do a hardline build? Why don't you do water? And I'm just like, yeah, but if I have to like upgrade something or whatever, like I don't need the downtime. It's gonna take a long time, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just maybe one day. I always say maybe one day, and it never happens. But maybe one day it will happen. We'll see. But we'll move on to news this week. Starting off, we've been talking about it for the past few weeks. Is NVIDIA's RTX Super Series. This is going to be the refresh to the RTX 40 series, RTX 40 Supers, and NVIDIA announced they're going to deliver a special address during CES 2024, which of course is in January. And so they have an announcement, January 8th, 8 a.m. You kind of know what it's going to be. It's like no surprise, right? Yep. What would they be announcing? I mean, that's going to be RTX 40 Super series. So when you don't have like a big launch at CES, it is kind of a boring show, I'd say, sometimes. So to have a bigger launch and maybe see some newer cards and things like that, I'll be excited for that. So maybe we'll go to the maybe you won't be in Vegas yet.
I won't be there yet. Yep, you'll be there.
Yeah, so maybe I'll go to this. It is at 8 a.m. though, but we'll see.
That's an early meeting.
Yeah,
not really.
I mean, it's not incredibly early, but it's earlier. But we'll see. Maybe I'll go to it. Maybe I won't. We'll see. Sometimes they're fun. Remember, we were you with us when we were at the. Was it the 2060 launch?
That's the only one that I've been to is the 2060. And
yeah, that was pretty cool.
It was fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see, but we will be in Vegas in January. So we'll definitely give you all the up-to-date news and everything that's going on with that. But yeah, they announced that. And then some more leaks came out as well. And the big change is this RTX 4070 Ti Super. So the RTX 4070 Ti launched with 12 gigabytes of memory. From the leaks, it looks like they might be upgrading that to 16.
Okay.
So
I'll take that.
That's a plus.
Yeah.
The RTX 4070 Super will have 12. So no change there. We have the SKUs and the part numbers for these already and the GPUs that they'll be based off of. So RTX 4080 Super, that's going to be the AD103-400, 10,240 CUDA cores, 16 gigabytes of GDDR6 on that. So that's staying the same. There were rumors that that would be bumped up to 20, but from the rumors that we're seeing, it's going to be 16 gig. But then you have the RTX 4070 Ti Super, that's going to be based on the AD103-275. And that's where you're going to see the upgrade. So again, going from 12 gigabytes of GDDR6 to 16 gigabytes of GDDR6. And then finally, the RTX 4070 Super, that is going to be based off the AD104-350. And again, that's going to have 12 gigabytes of GDDR6. Do you think we're going to get all of those announced at CES, the whole line, or we're just going to get 4080?
And I hope not.
So just all the refresh, here's the entire refresh.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to see that anyhow.
Yeah, I think that
it would be a lot more exciting. Or sure, it's exciting to see the top level refresh, but you have a whole
based on this, and this is what we've seen so far, I think from the 4080 down to the 4070. So there's three cards, 4080 Super.
Those three. Yeah, that's all I
4070 Ti Super and 4070 Super. That's what we'll see at CS because they've still been trying to make the 4060 series interesting. Yeah. And it's not. And it's just I think maybe middle of the year, not middle of the year, but springtime, March, sometime. April time, we'll see the 4060 get a Super at some point. That's my guess based on what we've seen. But again, we'll see in January. But yeah, I guess it's exciting. And again, we talk about refreshes. They're not necessarily the most exciting thing, but but talking about GPUs, this is a pretty cool external GPUs. I know we haven't talked about external GPUs for a while. But this company
called, talk about them too often anyhow, but
One Netbook announced their 1X GPU. It's the world's first eGPU with an M.2 slot, Oculink support, and a vapor chamber built in. It looks like a little mini PC. You know what I mean? It looks like a little power bank almost.
Yes, that's what.
And you can see where the M.2 is on the back there. And it has a bunch of connections that you're going to get. Of course, the Oculink support. So if you want to connect this to something, like a Steam Deck, you could go ahead and do that. Power, LAN, you get some USB. Here's the cooling fan. And this is running a Radeon RX 7600 MXT on it. But, if you look at this guy's hand, I know this is just a render, but, it's not that big.
No, not at all.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool that, again, like, this is really made to be used with super lightweight laptop or something like a Steam Deck or something like that. But pretty cool. This launched on Indiegogo, so they're doing some funding for it. But and it's, of course, it's going to work with their One X player handhelds as well. So yeah, I like it. I think it's cool. I like getting the SSD because, like, on something like a handheld or even like a super light laptop, like, yep. If you're not having like all of your games on there, right? But then when you connect this, you get your SSD that has all your games loaded, so you don't have to worry about it. I kind of like that.
Yeah. Or load like some of your favorites maybe on the device and then all your extra stuff on this one. So you've always got the ones you want to play all the time on there. You got your extras that you may not play all the time with this one.
Yeah, I like that for sure. So we have the link to the Indiegogo if you something that you might be interested in. But yeah, pretty cool there. But talking about gaming handhelds, we got a refresh for the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
I was kind of expecting it because I think we had talked about this. I was like, you're gonna have to see a Steam Deck refresh because, you know, you see especially the ROG Ally and Lenovo Go coming out, and we've seen some other devices, and the Steam Deck's just looking a little old.
Yeah, I mean, its form factor was a little like old looking anyways from the start. I mean, the Asus looks really nice compared to it, so like right there it's instant. But the funny thing is, I was on Twitter the other day when this was announced, and someone on there was talking about, oh, I'm really like upset or bothered by this Steam Deck update, you know, for people that may have bought it. And I just kept reading it as Stream Deck, so I was looking all over Corsair and Elgato sites, and like, I can't find any updates. Like, why would people be so bad about the Stream Deck? And then I went back and read it. I was like, oh, the Steam Deck. Okay.
Yeah, Steam Deck.
So it's got some good updates, I think.
Yeah, so the Steam Deck, it's a new Steam Deck OLED. So you're going to have an OLED screen, which if you've... does your Switch... Is it the OLED version or just the normal version?
No, we have the original.
Okay, so I would say, like, people who have a Switch and then maybe upgraded to the OLED, you really... Because you can really tell a lot... Even on a larger screen, you can definitely tell the difference. Oh, yeah. But I think on a smaller screen, it makes such a difference in the clarity on a smaller screen. So you're going to get an OLED screen. You're also getting increased refresh rate as well. So the original Steam Deck was 60 hertz. This is an upgrade to 90 hertz, which is nice. There is a new chip inside, but it's the same speed and specs as the previous chip. It's not like you're not getting a massive upgrade performance wise or anything like that. You are getting better Wi-Fi. So you went from Wi-Fi, I don't know which one it was, but you're getting Wi-Fi 6E now. More storage options as well. So there is now a 1 terabyte option. Nice little upgrade. I think that, you know, you can see the displays and everything like that.
Still very affordable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, $549 to start for the 512 gig, $649 for the 1 terabyte. I guess it had Wi-Fi 5. You get Wi-Fi 6E here. Better battery as well. And it's actually lighter, too. So, yeah. And then the APU went from 7 nanometer to 6 nanometer, but it is very much the same. The screen is slightly bigger, 7 inches on the original to 7.4 inches on the newer one. So, yeah, nice upgrade. I guess we probably won't see like a Steam Deck 2 till the like Christmas time next year.
Yeah, to a second one. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I thought we would see a newer one, like not necessarily like when this is launching, but when, you know, January, February, something like that. So we probably won't see something like that for a while. But I think this is I don't necessarily think if you had the Steam Deck, like, you're going to buy this. But I think it's if you're somebody who's considering buying a handheld, this gives you it gives you the theme text is a choice again, because of the screen, and the screen will look so much better. So I think that's the thing. It puts it back in the conversation with the Lenovo Go and the ROG Ally as a choice. Whereas it, again, especially when the ROG Ally came out, it was just like the ROG Ally is just so much better, where this is, it brings it back into the conversation, which I think is good. So yeah, I like the upgrade. And again, as Ryan said, not increase, like the 1 terabyte, $649. And I mean, for those who don't know, I mean, this is a fully fledged computer, you know, that you can, I mean, it's mainly made for gaming, obviously, but you can do other things with it as well. So yeah, pretty cool to see that for sure. So would you, if you had the choice and, you know, you had, what is this? You had $700. Are you buying this? Are you buying the ROG Ally? Or are you buying a new graphics card?
No, new graphics card.
Okay. I was just wondering. Yep. Let's see if you were...
No, all right. I'm not that desperate for a portable gaming.
Gotcha. Well, talking about portables, there's some other really, really cool ones, super cool ones, as well as mini PCs announced by, Aya Neo. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I always mess up their name. But they have these like retro, they're coming out with these retro style handhelds, as well as some really cool mini PCs. So here's some of the new handhelds. Of course, this is their Flip. Is made to look like a DS. So it's going to have multiple screens right here. And then they have their Flip that has the keyboard instead of the screen. But I mean, this is made to look like the DS right here. I forget this. I don't know what this one's
the slide. Made to look like.
The slide. The screen kind of slides up. And then they have these are all mini PCs, obviously. But these aren't handhelds. These are two mini PCs. What's this one called? This one's called the PC AM01.
That's funny.
Or no, it's the Retro Mini. Yeah, Retro Mini PC AM01. So it's a mini PC. You can see the connections at the back here, but it's made to look like a Macintosh. Yep. So I think it's pretty cool. It's like a little throwback. Something this would be really cool to like have sitting it like for like a home theater PC, but just kind of just like sitting there.
Yeah.
I think that would be
It would look cool sitting there if the ports were on the back side.
Yeah.
Right here, everything's kind of come off the top. It looks cool at this angle, but I'm sure it looks fine sitting down too. But yeah.
Yeah. And then we have this one, which is the AM02, which is made to look like a Nintendo. I don't think they pulled this one off as well.
Yeah.
You can kind of tell it looks like a Nintendo, but not completely. But I think this one that's a really cool looking mini PC. That again is made to look like the Macintosh. And then they're working on this Pocket DMG. It's in prototype right now, but it looks like it's going to be like a little handheld gaming device too. So pretty cool. But I really like these Flips, I think, are pretty cool. One has the full keyboard, one has the dual screens, which is pretty interesting as well. You can see the dual screen there as well too. So
that's cool.
Pretty cool. I think this handheld market is just getting really intense, and I like cool little devices. You know what I was thinking about buying just for like the holidays and just to like not necessarily be on this big computer is one of those like little handheld like plays ROMs
emulator. Like, yeah, my boss has one.
Like, yeah, you can buy them on Amazon.
They're pretty sweet.
Yeah, I was thinking they about buying cool. one for myself. I really don't buy much for myself, and I was like, it would be kind of cool to just like, because like when I'm here, like we're gaming and we're doing the podcast, I'm like working. A lot of times, like I just don't want to be in the office, but I'm not going to buy like a 360 or, you know, Xbox or PlayStation, but like just to sit there on the couch and play some like Sonic or something like that would be kind of fun, right. I think.
Yeah, so, no, they're cool.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe we'll do like
real solid quality. At least the one he has is like the build quality is nice. Everything about
I've seen like some videos pretty quality. Like, because I've been kind of like searching them and they've been like popping up on my YouTube recommended, and I've seen some videos on some of them. They do look really good. So we'll see if I decide to go ahead and pick one up. But moving on from handhelds to processors, Apple M3 Pro becomes the fastest CPU in Passmark, beating out the Core i9 14900K 8KF and 13900 KS. I mean, that's pretty crazy for an Apple processor. I just to say this single, this is single thread performance, yeah. But still.
I hate that there's no AMD product on there, you know, at least on this, in these top, what, 20?
Yeah. There is not. It's single, it's single core though. And, but yeah, pretty cool to see from Apple. We've talked about this over and over again. It's just like how they've really, this whole change from, you know, being reliant on Intel. They had a couple AMD SKUs in the past as well. But you know, to doing their own chip and just one, getting so much more performance out of it. Two, again, not being reliant on Intel and all of that. So it's been great for them. Totally solid. Like, I think it's one of the best moves they've probably made in the past decade. Is to having their own chip. So really cool to see. I wish there was like an in between for them, like their debt, like, so they have like the iMac, which has like the built-in screen, right? And then if you want like a dedicated machine, it's like the Mac Pro, and the Mac Pro is like $30,000.
Right.
There's like, I wish there was like an in-between, like a desktop.
Well, I mean, they used to.
Yeah. You know? But like a desktop PC that's like can do stuff, but it's not the Mac Pro that's like incredibly expensive running, like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's got $400 wheels.
Yeah, no, they were more than that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But like something that was like for Apple pricing, like $3,000 to $5,000, that was like a more mid range system type thing.
Yeah,
you know, and like you know, all the Mac fans and stuff, like, you would think that they could do some type of, you know, because they have been bigger on the gaming stuff in the recent years, like, make it more of a creator gamer PC, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, especially
show what your M processors can do, like in a desktop for the, you know, the normal budget, and like you can create and game on a system, and you don't have to have our pro version, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I think would be a cool in between. Old man, the chat, and I did see this as well when all the new systems were announced too. Apple thinks 8 gig of RAM is enough in 2023. And I think that like 8 gig RAM system was like $3,000.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But people pay it because, I mean, I haven't heard, minus the price, you don't really hear that much bad stuff about Macs.
No.
Minus the price. Right. And it's expensive, but I have heard good things, especially the M1 versions or the M versions, you know, that we've seen in the past couple of years, that we've heard really good things. So yeah, but cool to see that. We can keep on wishing for that mid-range system. I don't think it will ever come, but yeah, talking about super fast SSDs, Corsair announced their new one. They announced the MP700 Pro. This is a Gen 5 drive. Comes with two fans here, which I can't imagine are quiet. But there's a fan on this side, I believe a fan on the other side as well. Gen 5 here. And what's really cool about this, and this makes sense for them because they do make water cooling parts, but they also have a version of the drive that is made for water cooling. So it has the everything all built in, so you can just add it into your loop. That's kind of what it looks like there. I think that's pretty cool because you don't see that all that often from, like, you know, Samsung's not making a drive that comes with their own block and stuff. So I think that's pretty cool. So you can get either, or you can get the one with the fans, or you can get the water cooling.
Definitely a good use case. I mean, like, those suckers get hot. So
yeah,
throwing a block on there, not a bad idea.
Yeah. So 12,400 megabytes a second read and 11,800 megabytes a second, right? Yeah, some speed right there. Prices, don't have prices on these just yet. But they will have a 4 terabyte, they said, later in the winter. So that's exciting as well. Getting a higher capacity of these super, super fast drives. Definitely awesome there. So cool to see that. Here's an interesting story that I wanted to cover for Steam. So Steam, you can like go into like hidden mode where like nobody can see what you're doing. Like nobody can see that you're online. Like
offline, and, yeah.
Yeah, like you're like offline basically, but you're still, you could be playing a game or whatever. But a lot of people don't want people to see what they're doing, but still appear to be online. So their friends can be like, hey, do you want to play a game? Or they want to chat or whatever it may be. Well, Steam's working on this new thing where you can hide games. Like you can hide the games that you're playing from your friends, which is kind of funny. If you're playing like a really questionable game, and we've seen some very questionable games on Steam, you could like mark it as private. So like when you're playing it, people can't see what you're playing. Which I think,
oh no, I'm just sitting here doing nothing. Sure,
I'll play something. You're playing it's one of those, we've covered some of the questionable games that are on Steam, so it's kind of funny to see that this isn't official yet. It's being worked into Steam, but I do like it because you know, you do want some sense of privacy, but again, the only available option that you had was to like be off, like appear offline to your friends, you know what I mean? Right. And then you see all your friends are playing, and then you're like, oh, why didn't they ask me? Oh, I'm a peer, like I'm kind of signed offline. So it's cool to see that this will be added in again. If you're somebody who's playing some questionable games, then you know, you can enable that feature for sure. And then we have some GTA 6 updates, of course. Co-op, people are talking about it's going to have co-op, which definitely makes sense. Other people are suggesting that it's going to make $1 billion in its first week. What do you think?
I mean, I think it probably has potential.
I think it will.
You think so? I mean, it's gonna have so much anticipation. It's definitely possible. I think gaming has grown since like GTA 5 came out, obviously.
Yeah.
And that game's made billions, you know, in its life cycle, but to do it in the first week is a pretty big achievement, if so.
Yeah, I think they can definitely do $1 billion the first week. It's going to be such a fun game. I'm really excited for it. You know, I saw somebody, I think it was on Instagram. They're like, when, you know, in December, when they announce the date for GTA 6 and they say 2027 or something crazy. That would be kind of funny. Like, oh yeah, 3 years from now, you know.
That'd kill it. You'd be like,
yeah, I think it will be a year out.
Still a year.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know.
God, I hope not. I just, the piece I care about the most is like, as long as it launches like all across all platforms, I'll be fine.
That would be a first from Rockstar. So that's what I would hope. The only thing, if that's not the case, I don't want it to be like years either to launch on PC. Yeah. You know, you'd want it, if it launches on console first, that's fine, but like 3 months, 6 months max to get it on PC. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, that is it for news for the week. What we have coming up next week, I'm still working on my review of the Patriot Elite 5 DDR5 memory. This stuff's really awesome. I've been testing it pretty much the past like week, and it's been really awesome. So I'll have that for you guys in the next few days. Also taking a look at a new chair, and I've been needing a new chair. I feel like I've had this chair that I sit in for like ever. So I get a new chair.
I can tell you have not had it as long as the chair I'm sitting in.
So okay. Just
throwing that out there.
Well, didn't you get it? We sent you a chair, did we not?
Yeah, I've had two.
Okay. Well, if you want another one, you just let me know. But this is the Odinlink Ergomax 747. I'm actually a huge fan of these like Ergo chairs. This one that I have is an Ergo chair. I'm a huge fan. This thing looks really awesome. I'm really excited to really use it and see how it does. 15-year warranty on this, so that's really awesome as well. So looks like all steel frame too. So I'm really excited to see what this is about, because we always talk about like, oh yeah, you're going to spend all this money on your PC, but you should invest in a good chair. And we'll see if this is one of those good chairs, because you can see chairs that are very expensive, but then you sit in them and they're not great. So we'll see if this is worth the hype for that. So that's the Odin Lake Ergo Max 747. And then I'm taking a look at a really interesting mouse. It looks like an old school mouse, but it is pretty interesting. So this is the Lowfree Touch PBT, and it actually has key switches in it, like the actual key switches, like you would find in a keyboard. And then the keycaps are actually PBT keycaps on there. Definitely kind of like an older school design too on this.
Pretty interesting. That mini PC from the other company.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, it would go really well with that. But yeah, pretty interesting. It is wireless. We'll see how it feels. I was kind of hesitant to review this, but I was like, let me see what this feels like.
It looks tall.
It's not necessarily. I wish I had it. It's sitting over there. But
just that side profile image made it look like it was tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. If this becomes your new mouse, like,
what if I become so good at games because of this mouse? Yeah, we'll see how I like it. I'll be taking a look at that next week as well. So excited to have all that stuff for you. We're getting closer to the end of the year, man. Lots of reviews to get done and catch up with. At the end of every podcast, we do have our question of the week. And this week, the question is, what was the first laptop that you ever owned?
I know which one we had. Well, which one we had it. My dad had a laptop from work.
Okay.
I won't count this one, but he had this laptop from work, and for some reason from work, they had put the game Descent on it. Do you remember the game Descent?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, this laptop was, I mean, we're talking, this was,
that has to be old. Yeah.
Mid nineties, right? Yeah. Like 92 to 96 ish time period. So like that was the first one we had in the house. I mean, it was thick as all get out. But the first laptop that I personally had that I would say that I bought that was new was actually that Dell gaming laptop. I take that back. I had an Asus G72GX, I think is what it was. It was this monster 17-inch. Yeah, I think it was a G72GX.
Up here.
Yeah, and I bought that from Best Buy 1 year. It had a Core 2 Duo, like 4300 or something right here? Like that. Yes, and it's a 17-inch screen. Yeah, it came with 6 gigs of RAM, which was like a weird amount.
Yeah, yeah,
but at the time, a lot for the time. Huge, like, I mean, it's enormous. I still have it, actually. Optical drive, like I was happy because it had USB 2.0 on it. It had GTX something in there, you know. I had
Core 2 Duo P8700, two cores.
Yeah,
two cores, four threads.
Yeah, and I think I have Windows 10 running on it, if I'm not mistaken.
Interesting.
I think it came with Vista, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. It.
Did you enjoy it? Did you like it?
I did. I had it for. I think I even brought that to a QuakeCon.
Okay.
And used it as my machine. 1 year, maybe not. Nah, maybe. I think so.
Was it like, I remember?
Actually, I know I did. It still has the QuakeCon sticker on the bottom of it. I know I did.
Okay. I remember like my first laptop. I just remember getting it. I was like so happy. And I was like, it was like everything I wanted it to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So mine was the Dell XPS M1210, which.
Oh, I remember this one too. Yeah.
Yeah. And it had like a webcam at the time. Let's see if I have like, could find some pictures of it. Oh, that's not the one. That is not it. And I saved up my money to buy this thing. This is it right here. Oh, that's not it either. That one doesn't have the webcam.
Man, look at you clicking on the wrong.
It's like this one. Let me see if they have. So Yeah, I remember it had the battery that sticked out of the back.
Sticks out from the back.
Yeah, it had Ethernet, yep. But it had dedicated graphics. That's why I bought it. You can see like the thick, like these all heat sinks inside there.
Had a modem in it.
Yeah, and it had
PCMCIA.
Yeah, slot. Oh, yeah. And I remember using I had a Sprint card that I would put in there to like use it on the go and stuff, and it had the DVD drive in it.
Yep.
Yeah, it even had FireWire. Yeah, man, this is an awesome laptop, man. And then
eSATA maybe.
Yeah, and then it had like I was so happy about the webcam because I was like starting to do some streaming stuff too, like way back then. Let me see if I can find some pictures of the.
Oh my
gosh. Yeah, the webcam was cool because you could like it was like on a swivel, so you could adjust it a little bit.
Yeah.
I was so happy to get this thing, man. And it had, like I said, it had the dedicated graphics. Like I was like, I remember flying to Vegas for CES. Might've been like my like second or third. And I was like, I'm going to play some games on the flight. Cause I have this, this laptop that can do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love this thing. This thing was one of my favorite tech things I think I ever had. It was like, it was my first like actual laptop, like that I,
you know,
I might have used some laptops in the past, but like it was never mine. You know, it was like a friend's or somebody else's. And this is like I bought this with my own money and I was just so pumped about it.
He's talking about how one of his had a really bad screen. If you were at the wrong angle, it's just you can't see anything. I know what you
mean. Yeah. It's crazy how good laptops have got. Yeah. So I remember this and it was like, yeah, like if I played a game on this, like on the plane, like it would last like 40 minutes.
Yeah, your batteries sucked
dry. but this thing was so cool, man.
But yeah, no, thinking about that, I still have that Dell, you know, that you always make fun of because it's big for today's standards. Kind of, it runs well, but I haven't powered that thing on in probably, I don't know, 6 months.
Yeah,
because I have this other HP that's thin and light, and but it's even that one's kind of old, and I don't know. They're handy to have.
Yeah, it was just like, it was such a cool thing. I think I might have been still in college when I bought it. I don't remember, but I was super excited about it. So, but that was our question of the week. Old man was talking about his compact that he had. He had Windows 98 on it. That's crazy. I think that this Dell shipped with Vista on it.
Yeah, actually, mine, I think, came with 7, because I remember it having a Windows 7 sticker on it.
Yeah, I remember you had the option to upgrade whatever when I got it. So.
I think it was pretty affordable, though, if I remember. Like, I think I only paid,
I remember saving up for months to get this, because you could get the one that didn't have the integrated graphics, but I was like, I want the integrated graphics.
Of course.
I wanted the dedicated graphics. I mean,
yeah, I think that one had a 260 mobile or something, a GTX 260.
Yeah, crazy. We're getting old, man.
Yep.
Yeah. We also talk about anything tech related that we've done in the past week. Have you done anything? Seen anything?
I messed around a little bit more with that server that I built in that Silverstone. So I haven't had a ton of time to mess with it, but I'm writing an article for that, just on kind of the process and the overall project itself. I got in a really cool product that I'm excited to take a look at. That's like a tool for helping like edit videos. So I'm really excited to look at that and utilize it. So.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I've just been working on reviews. I haven't really done anything. The other day, I like sat down and I was like, long day of work, and I was like, I just want to watch a movie. And I was like scrolling through like Netflix and Amazon Prime, and there was just like nothing that like piqued my interest at all. I need to find either some good movies or like a good show. But
we
like,
still haven't finished it. But we started watching. Gosh darn it! What was it called? Renfield. Yeah, it's got Nicolas Cage.
And, oh, I did see that.
I saw a commercial for that. We watched most of it, but we haven't finished it, and we need to finish it because it was entertaining.
Okay,
it was pretty. It's pretty good.
I feel like it's just a lot of these newer shows are just not that entertaining to me.
No, it was good.
But yeah, that's pretty much it, guys. That's it for the podcast this week. Of course, thanks everybody for coming in and hanging out. If you were in the live chat, we definitely appreciate that. We're going to jump over to Twitch. So if you want to continue hanging out with us, Ryan will have that stream up. It's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We're going to be doing some gaming, which is always the best part about Wednesdays besides doing the podcast, is playing some games. So Ryan will have that stream up again, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. And like I said, thanks everybody for coming out, and we will see everybody next week.